Jim?
I certainly could use an interest in the trade. I like better Jim. That song was very beautiful. Back comes the waters. I have much thought in mind this day that perhaps I would implore you to give me your careful attention. I'd like to start perhaps in looking back over the last few sermons that you heard, that the brother that stands before you this day knows that they were inspired and led by the power of God under the killing of men. And one of them that was very touching and very edifying to the soul, to the children of men, and to the body of Christ was my brother Housenet's sermon, telling us that we are the Spirit. Of the Church of Christ. We are the life of the Church of Christ. My brother Jim, as he spoke on the responsibility of a man and a wife, my brother Ken and Jay and Donnie, I've heard sermons here that pertain to the life of the body of Christ. And you know that in the book of Revelation, in the 22nd chapter, it tells us that the Spirit and the Bride shall come. It's an invitation to the world. It's an invitation to the children of men that are here in their period of probation. That you and I are responsible for. That the Church of Christ is responsible for reaching out to and to touch and to deliver the captives. Yes, the same message that was given to the Master to deliver the captives and turn them free and to heal the broken heart of his ours. The same responsibility, other than the fact that we cannot and we will not be crucified for the sins of the world, but yet he says, even as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. It tells us the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him hear say, come. And let him that is at thirst come. And whosoever will let him take of the water of life freely. We just heard a beautiful song of taking of the water of life freely. That you buy without money. That which is at the disposal of the spiritual minds of the children of men upon the nations of the earth. Yes, this church, this bride of Christ on the face of the earth, has a responsibility to the world. Has a responsibility one towards another. There is not a greater responsibility ever given unto the children of men of that responsibility that would help save us all. That's the greatest responsibility that you and I would ever shoulder. The greatest responsibility that I've shouldered is to be a shepherd. And sometimes a shepherd has to take the sheep and inject them. And it might hurt a little bit. but it saves their lives. This morning, what I have to tell you and what I have to teach might hurt a little bit, but perhaps it'll save your life. And perhaps it'll save the life of the Spirit of the Bride of Christ, who you and I are, with that Spirit and that life. I would like to start with a scripture, and I will refer to it again. That's a common scripture, and it's been used across this pulpit much, and I'm sure many. And I'm quoting and I'm reading out of the 5th chapter of Galatians. And young people and old, those of you who have books in your laps, I would ask of you this day to please follow the scriptures that I use, that you find that these are not my words, but the words of the Father who sent me. So please follow as I go along. I'm going to start in the 5th chapter of Galatians. And I'm going to read a familiar verses to you, the 22nd and the 23rd verses. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. I want you to keep that in mind, because I want to come back to it as I go along. To revive the minds of the hearts of the mothers and fathers that are in this room. To revive the minds of the hearts of the children, the young people that are in this room. First, I would like to see the hands, perhaps, of the young people who believe in the Scripture. Can I see your hands holding up high? Do you believe in the Scriptures? I'd like to see the hands of the parents who believe in the Scriptures. Okay? Then I would ask you to listen closely this day, as we go through the scriptures. I'd like to take you to the 12th chapter of Hebrews. And in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, because of our time, I will begin quickly. I would like to start in the 5th verse. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. I want you to take notice that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. He corrects them because he loves them. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. The children of men, the young people, the parents today, whom he loveth, he chastens, that they might come to the knowledge and the understanding of that which is right, of that which is essential to save their soul into the kingdom of God, the eternal Father. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. I want you to know, if we endure that chastening, if we endure the rebuking of God. Now, you might say, well, is he rebuking? Is the Spirit going to rebuke? Is his servant going to rebuke? How is he going to rebuke? Is his word going to rebuke? His word is rebuking to you and I whenever that which we do is opposite of the things which are taught in the scriptures. And yes, from time to time, those who were chosen of God to serve you as your shepherds have the responsibility to perhaps, through the leading, we pray of the Spirit of God, rebuke and revive the hearts and the minds of the children of men. We would rather perhaps preach wonderful things to your ears, yet needful to preach things wherein we do err and come up short, and where our eye is not fully single on the glory of God, and we have run opposite of that which God has taught unto the children of men. But if ye, starting in the 8th verse, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. If you are chastised, parents, if you teach and not chastise your children, what will they become? What will they do and what will they be when they reach the age of teenage? When they reach up, when they begin to break in the newness of life as a full man and woman. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Young people, how many of us today within the Church of Christ give their parents reverence when they're chastised? Remember, you are the spirit of the Church of Christ. Or is it the opposite? Do you reverence your parents when they correct you? Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Shall we not rather be under the subjection of God the Eternal Father and live? For they barely for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. And you know, if I tell you you're wrong, you're right. It's not, you're not going to like it. Those who have had the responsibility to stand before the congregations has found that whenever you tell them they're doing something wrong, immediately they are perturbed, and immediately they don't like it. And they don't receive the word, the chastisement, with joy. And neither do they reverence the Lord because of the things in which he caused to be written for the edification of the hearts and the minds of the spiritual people. And for the edification that is necessary for us to understand and to apply to our lives that the Church of Christ has a live spirit working among the nations of the earth, and capable, and don't go forth with a sickness and ailments and with the weaknesses of legs and the lack of strength to proclaim the beauties of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For they barely earn in a few days, excuse me, the 11th verse, and now chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. The grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Yet first we don't take it with joy. We take it grievously. But if we think upon it, it would be that perhaps for righteousness. It would be perhaps that which was necessary for the welfare of our soul. Well, I want you to keep in mind now that the Lord chastens those whom he loves. And I want you to keep in mind that he said that when his father of the flesh chastened him, he reverenced him. I'd like to have you turn over to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. In the Church of Christ today, in the body of Christ, that which was cut out of the hand, cut out of the mountain without hands, that gospel which is so essential to be carried to the nations of the world, and in the end shall come that you and I are responsible for, within the bride of Christ today is a sickness, and the sickness is the rebellion of our young people. The sickness is the rebellion of our young people. The sickness is the lack of the parents chastising and correcting and allow them to continue to travel a way that makes sick the Church of Christ and make weak her legs and make her boys weak under the nations of the world because they have yielded to the world rather than that of Christ. They have gone contrary to the Scriptures and have walked their own willful ways. And they do this day yet go contrary to the law of God and walk their own willful ways, feeling that they're getting away with something, but they're making sick the Church of Christ and they're slowing down the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ among the nations of the world. Harsh words, aren't they? But nevertheless, true. The young people, as a whole, have not picked up the gauntlet of Christ. They have wandered in their own willful ways with stiff neck and pride and wanting eyes, and have turned away from the very source of the living water that if they drink of, they shall never thirst again. And they feel that when they feel like at some time in the distant future, they will return. Oh, how they deceive themselves. For God has your work to do. And he'll do it either with you or without you. The work shall be carried to the nations of the earth, either with you or without you. And that has to be your decision. But nevertheless, the actions of our people make the bride of Christ weak and mar and make filthy her garments because of the unrighteousness within her. You and I are responsible for that. You and I are responsible for just exactly that. I'm going to start in the first verse of the 6th chapter of Ephesians. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. And today, children don't want to obey their parents in the Lord or any other manner. They're rebellious. And they turn away. And not only have they turned away from their parents and be rebellious and cranky and sassy and mouthy and unjust and unruly before their parents, but as well have they been unruly and unjust before God the Eternal Father because they violated his holy law. And until the time that the young people and the parents, me and you, come to the realization that God has a law, and in that law He has given ordinances and specific instructions for the necessary strength and the power and the building of the Spirit within His bride, the bride will remain weak. And the strength and the power that is necessary for us to go to the nations will be just exactly that until at the other stone God shall raise up a people to handle that. As long as we refuse with a high mind and heady and turn away from the gospel of Christ and not obey our parents and not have any respect for the elders, but mouth them back and not obey, the church of Christ shall be weak until God cleanses sanctuary. And when that sanctuary is cleansed, there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth among its people, because their own children and their own mothers and their own fathers shall fall away from the gospel of Jesus Christ and end up in the mire. Strong words, but nevertheless, my brothers and sisters, they are true. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Young people, that's here tonight, today, and throughout the church, I would ask you to answer within yourself, do you honor your father and your mother? Have you listened to their counsel, or have you been rebellious? And have you turned away? And have you decided that you will go your own way and do your own thing rather than go God's way and do His thing? And until the church of Christ shall rise up and obey the law of God, the spirit of this bride will be weak and miserable and not stand with the power and the strength that is necessary to carry the gospel of love and compassion and obedience to the statutes of God into the world with strength and power to save the souls of the children of men. But we have been rebellious. Yes, it's not only in the world, my brothers and sisters. It is within the confines of the bride of Christ upon the face of the earth have the young been rebellious against the parents and have not followed after their teaching and have not reverenced their parents when they chastised them, but rather turned away from them. Just exactly have you realized, young people, that you fulfill prophecy in God, that in the last days the parents and the difference between the parents and the children, and they rise up against their parents? Have you realized that you fulfill prophecy, but it need not be fulfilled within the body of Christ? And it must not be filled within the body of Christ. We must become an obedient people, and young people, you must learn to listen to your parents and listen to their chastisement in reverence rather than turning away. And if this had been done, the Church of Christ wouldn't be in the position it is today. But it has not been done. And as a whole, the young people have not picked up the responsibilities that is theirs. It still lays undone. Because they're too busy doing other things. They're too busy being tied up in the world. They're too busy fighting their parents. They're too busy saying, oh, mother and dad are old-fashioned. They don't know what they're talking about. And God is old-fashioned, too. He's from the beginning to the end. His fortune forever, Alpha and Omega. And His law shall stand forever. His law shall stand forever.
And you might say that law is old-fashioned, but it will either save your soul or cause you to lose it if you reject it.
I'd like to turn over in Colossians, the third chapter of Colossians, the 20th verse. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Yes, the parents. Myself, Louise, Tom, and Maureen, the parents are in this room can provoke the children to anger. They can provoke the children of anger by teaching one thing and living another. By standing in the pulpit and teaching and asking for the gift of charity, which is love, and show not that one to another in a home from a man to a wife, or from the parents to the children. Yes, by the actions of the parents, they can provoke the children because they walk not in the statutes of God. Yet they say, do as I say and not as I do. Don't smoke, but I'll smoke. Don't drink, but I'll drink. Don't use profanity, but I'll use profanity. Don't gossip, but I'll gossip. Don't talk about another, but it's all right if we do. And so the result, they have not seen the proper home, the proper guidance, because the parents have lacked in those things. And they have talked one towards another. And you know something? If I have anything in the world to say about my brother Don McIndure, my brother Don Housemith, or my brother Jim, or any brothers or brother Bill, or anything else, it's to do that which is good, because I did not call them, God called them. They're God's servants. He called them and ordained them. And if sin comes to your house, I want my children to know that that brother comes as a servant and a shepherd of God the Father. Not as one that Louise and I have been gossiping about. And so when he comes to my home, my children look at him and say, yeah, there's a guy that did this and he did that. And I know I've been listening to him. That if I call over for elder to come to administer to my sick, whichever elder come, when he walks into that room, my children will look upon the elder as a servant of God and come with the power of God and has the power to hang the ordinances upon the face of this earth. That is very, very important in your life and mine. It's very, very important in the life of your children. Because maybe Brother Tim won't be here next month. Maybe the Lord will ask him to go into the field for a little while. And while he's gone, maybe that little child of his needs to be corrected or taught in the ways of the Lord. And Brother Jay goes over and the child looks up and says, oh, that's Jay. I heard my parents talk about them. They thought I was a kid playing on the floor. But I heard it. And I don't know. He teaches all kinds of funny things, and I don't have to listen to him. Yes, in many respects, the parents are responsible for the actions of the children. But I tell you what, young people, that doesn't excuse you when you reach up to the age of accountability to understand. You might not always like what your parents have to teach you and have to say to you, and I'm not saying that I'm always right or that they'll always be right, but the scripture says that you obey and respect your parents. And I don't know if any parent that is within this room, including myself, that would willfully and fully
teach their child something that will cause them a spiritual death. Or teach them to what? We're not behind a hot car in front of a road, a train or something? Or another automobile? Your parents wouldn't teach you anything other than they thought which was necessary for the welfare of your soul. That's what your parents teaches you. A being human.
You're like the servant that stands before you as an heir and make mistakes. But nevertheless, they love you.
Even as God loves you. But God loves us as children. And it's equally, we can be rebellious as a group of people and as a body of Christ and not obey the will of our parent, even God's eternal Father. And we will suffer the consequences. And they won't be beautiful and won't be pretty. I'd like to have it turn over to the 15th chapter of Matthew. I want Jesus in that letter to answer these questions. In the 15th chapter of Matthew, I have here, I'm going to start at the first verse, but I think that I'm going to start down the third verse. He says, but he answered the children to them, never rebuked them, because his disciples, they thought they were doing something wrong, and they went along there and eat bread and one thing and another, but he answered the children to them, he says, why do ye all so transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, say, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die to death. How many times have you seen when the young people have gone contrary to the past and have left and gone their own way that it happened? And they die the death of the spirit of death and they lose their soul because their eye is not singled on the glory of God, but their eye is singled on the glory of themselves and the desires and the glitter of the world that the devil has put before them. And when they go their own way, you find them not coming to church, you find them not being happy, you find them many things that's necessary for the life of the spirit. In the spirit of men, no man, no woman is a mountain. That's why the Lord says we must gather together off, that we support one another. And the only way that we can be an example of Jesus Christ and have strength and power to face the world is if we are in obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we can't say to go with strength of the world when we are violating the law. And if we willfully stiff-neckedness with a cold mind, turn away and listen not to the counsel of the parents, and go our own way and go to the ways of the world, we are willfully disobeying God. And we're looking for that spirit of death to come upon us because we must obey our parents. We must have respect. And young people today show very little respect to elderly, to their parents, or to whoever it is that they come in contact with. The only thing they have in their mind is me. I'm the one. And they're not ready to give to another. They're not ready to yield. They're just ready to do just exactly what only they themselves want to do. Years and years and years before our fathers and their fathers and their fathers and their fathers did the Lord tell us that the flesh is carnal and the will of the mind of man is not that of God. But that it must come through the leading of the Spirit and by the obedience of the statutes of God. And no other way. But I say to you, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, give us a gift, and whatsoever thou mightest be fulfilled by me, profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus as ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. I want you to know, my young brothers and sisters, I'm going to speak to you there. It was Christ, the Son of the Living God. I want you to know that within the Church of Christ, this is part of the weakness that has caused the spirit in this bride to be weak, has been the rebellion of the young, has been the improper counsel of the parents. That's where a lot of the problem of the Church of Christ lies today. Ye hypocrites. This is Jesus speaking in the 7th verse where I'm reading. Well did Elias prophesy unto you, saying, the people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Now I want to go back to Galatians and refresh your mind with the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is good. There should be a five. But let me tell you something first. There's one thing that's wrong in the Church of Christ among the parents, and that is the little boy's desire to apply the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have become too lenient with their children, and they have not corrected them. They have not caused them to learn reverence unto God, nor obedience unto them. They have become lenient in the teaching, and have allowed them, if they used to go rebellious, because they think that great patience and tenderness and love is the answer. God, the Eternal Father, has great patience and long-suffering and love. Nevertheless, He chastens His children whom He loves. And the parents of the Church of Christ today have been negligent in correcting their children, have been negligent in leading and directing them, and in often cases have been responsible for leading them and taking them to the places where they ought not to. And defying the commandments of God, and thinking that they are being gentle in the spirit, but allowing a child to rise up in a rebellious attitude that would turn away from the gospel of Jesus Christ and make sick the bride upon the face of this earth. And now today, you and I are the recipients of the aftermath of that and still following in its footsteps. Rather than applying the rod or smoking the britches of a child, we have an adopted a doctor's thought. Is that right? Is that right? Okay. You and I are the recipients of the aftermath of that and still following in its footsteps. Rather than applying the rod or smoking the britches of a child, we have an adopted a doctor's thought. that right? Is that right? You know what we've allowed them to do? We say, oh, we don't want to break their will. Oh, no, we don't want to do that. We don't want to break their will. Absolutely not. We want them to keep their will. We want them to be a person of themselves. Well, we want them to be a person of themselves, but if it's not under the influence and the power of good thinking and of the leading of the Spirit of God, that's just exactly what they will be, a person of themselves and not of Christ. That's what they'll be, a person of themselves. You and I will be a person of ourselves and not of Christ nor of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the will of man is not that of the Father, and the gospel of man is opposite of God, unless the Spirit leads and directs, and unless the teaching of the parents are upon the children. And yes, we have been negligent because we don't want to tell them no. And so we can hear the way the world is today, we'll compromise with them. And how do you compromise with the law of God? We stand before you and testify the fulfillment of prophecy and the beginning of those things, even in the World Council of Churches and the ecumenical movement, where churches of Protestantism gather together and compromise with the Word of God, that they might combine themselves one to another under the heading of the Pope, whose foundation is of the power of the devil. And yet among our own households, we feel that we can compromise with the Word of God with our children and hold not fast and strong and staunch on the rule of the statutes of God. But we yield. And in us, they see that weakness of healing. And the mind that is about is that which is opposite of favoring their eyes to the glory of God. This is what has happened in the household of the churches of Christ. It isn't joyous, is it? Neither is it joyous to me. I have opened another to bring this to your attention. But nevertheless, young brothers and sisters, those of you who are in our midst and walk your own way, take heed. You shall fall unless you put your house in order. And now, you no longer become rebellious. You will suffer the consequences of a rebuking and chastening Father, even wherein his judgment is just and true. And if you hold not your temperance and follow after the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will find your lot with the devil and his angels. And there is no compromise. There is only one way, and that's Jesus Christ, righteousness, to enter the kingdom of heaven. And it cannot be done by rebellion and willful walking in the world and turning away from the gospel of Jesus Christ and thinking in the back of your mind that sometime later I'll come into this day and get things straightened around and walk after the Lord, because you don't know whether you're going to be here tomorrow or not, and neither do I. Just like on a Sunday afternoon, my dad didn't think he'd be paralyzed on his left-hand side just like that either. I want you to understand that you and I are that spirit of the body of Christ, and you and I, through our disobedience unto God and our lack of teaching the statutes to our children and allowing them to be rebellious in their youth, and put the Church of Christ in the place it is to this day, it has caused us to maim
The gospel of Jesus Christ and the name, the Spirit that is working here. And you cannot be rebellious to your parents. And you can't go out and walk your own way and come into this house of prayer and expect the pouring down of the Spirit of Christ to come upon you to draw you unto righteousness. It takes a walk, a straight walk, in the gospel of Jesus Christ to fill this full endowment of the Spirit of God and be led by Him by power. That's what it requires of me. It requires that of you. And until the Church of Christ and its people, its young and its old, will get together and live up to the statutes of God, the Eternal Father, we will go maimed of the Spirit unto the world. Until the fullness of that love flows from your heart, if you love God with all your might, mind, and strength, it will go short of that which is necessary to reach the mark, to reach out to the souls of the children of men across the nations of the earth. For God's Spirit will work according to the percent of love and obedience that you have within you. And if you love not, you find not the Spirit of God. And if you are disobedient, how do you manage to be disobedient and feel like that God is leading you? Or will lead you, or will inspire you, and will direct your life when you willfully disobey those things which are known to be that of the will of God? Yes, there is a sickness in the life of the body of Christ. And my brothers and sisters, you and I are partly responsible for that sickness because we have willfully disobeyed God. I'd like to go to Mosiah, the 7th chapter. Please bear with me, I'm going to try to hurry. And in the 7th chapter of Mosiah, I'd like to read the 119th verse taught among the Indian people on this nation. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth, upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
Honor your father and your mother that your days will be long. You want your days short? You want to shorten your days?
It's very important that we know that wherever we violate the law of God, we as a people are the losers. We cannot violate the law of God at any time, and neither could the holy brothers and sisters of old if they were not the losers. At no time, no time can we pacify our conscience that those things which we do will be all right when we know we have violated the law of God and think we're winning and think we're traveling towards happiness because we're traveling towards disaster. We're traveling towards the crash that will destroy our soul. I'd like to take you over in Proverbs. I'm going to read some scriptures quickly, so please be with me. I'm going to start in the 22nd chapter of Proverbs. I'd like to read the 6th verse first, in the 22nd chapter of Proverbs. It says, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Did you know that's the responsibility of your parents to train you up the way you should go? Nevertheless, you become rebellious and turn away from those things. It's the responsibility of those whom God has sent, that Spirit,
And that's what it is. It's a young spirit sin in a household that the parents are responsible of rearing and teaching and leading and setting those little feet in the straight and narrow way of the gospel of Jesus Christ and nurturing them in the Spirit of God and nurturing them by the way they order their lives. Just like the gospel says, those who preach the gospel must live the gospel. And if you're going to nurture those feet in that straight and narrow, you must know the way yourself. And you must have your feet in tune and ready to walk in the same. And be walking in the same. Let's go to the 15th verse. Foolishness is barren in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Do you think that God created you and sent your spirit to the household of your parents? And that the day that you were born, your God to have more knowledge than they who have lived in years? Do you? Why do you think God gave your parents? That they must nurture in our childhood. Just like we drive a rod the size of a sapling tree, that it will be straight when it grows up and not bent over. That's what parents are for, is to nurture and to teach you and I the gospel of Jesus Christ and set your feet, Joe, on the path of life eternal. And so a child comes along and immediately the parents are old-fashioned because they teach that which they should not do and don't go the ways of the world. Don't do that and don't do this. And oh, mom and dad are old-fashioned. They don't want me to go down there. And the gospel of Christ might be old-fashioned, but it is the only way into salvation. But yet we hear those saying, oh, mom and dad are old-fashioned because they meant, oh, they don't want us to do this and they don't want us to do that and we want to be rebellious. And rebellious in many cases we are. And oh, what is it going to cost us? I'd like to go over the 23rd chapter. And I'd like to have you read the 12th, and the 13th, and the 14th verses. Apply thine heart to the instructions of thine ears to the words of the knowledge. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod, and thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. Yes, we must apply the fruits of the Spirit, but we must have patience in all things. But nevertheless, mothers and fathers, we are responsible for rearing the children and setting their feet in that path. And where we lack and where we lack in the correction, you and I will reap the reward of their folly. Because we withheld the rod. We broke not the will of the child and caused it to be turned to the will of God. Let's go to the 29th chapter. Let's read the 15th and the 16th verses in the 29th chapter. It says, the rod of reproof gives wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. I want you to understand that, mothers and fathers, that a child bringeth you to shame whenever they beg you if you allow them to raise up and come to the position that they're rebellious against you and disobedient, and disobedient to the words and the power of God. Yes, then the mother is ashamed because she lacks in taking a lot of correction from. And those who are rebellious know this, if you shame your parents,
gained the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Hard words, aren't they? I didn't want to have to teach it. But nevertheless, I must. Yes, you shame your parents, and you shame the gospel of Christ, because you testify of one thing and live another. And whenever we testify of one thing and live another, the first thing that somebody says, you're a hypocrite. Isn't it? You keep one thing and you live another. You're a hypocrite. And how many times, parents, should our children tell us that? That across the pulpit you teach you shouldn't gossip, you shouldn't fish, and you shouldn't fast, but we do. But the example that we live must be the example that our children see should walk. Because the example we live, he says that our light should so shine that it shall glorify our Father which is in heaven. He bringeth to his mother shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgressions increase. But the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. How many times?
I can look right back here and I see a mother there that's my cousin, Donna. And of course, she might not go around and tell you, but I'll tell you, when she sees your son standing in this pulpit, calling after the gospel of Jesus Christ, the bugs and bust off his breath. And don't think for a minute, does it? Because she sees him following after the gospel of Jesus Christ in the life. And she knows that they're going away.
Yes. Are we ashamed to our parents? Or are we that to give the delight to their soul? Are we ashamed of the parents? Are we ashamed to take upon us the name of Christ? Or is our actions delight the soul and the heart of the Father which is in heaven? I'd like to turn now to the 19th chapter of Proverbs. And in the 19th chapter, I'd like to read the 18th verse, for one. Chasten thy son while there is hope.
I know my time is gone, my brothers and sisters, but nevertheless, I'm a comedian. I want you to understand that chasten thy son while there is hope. The time that you mold a little branch is when it's young. You don't wait until they're in their teens and decide that you must do something with them. You chasten them when they're a child. You bring them up in their infancy and let them know what the rod of correction and reproof and chastisement is unto righteousness. And you don't wait till a tree's back up around and then decide to change its trunk and straighten it. That the child, that spirit that's sent into your house that God has given unto you to mold unto him, must in his infancy be taught. And must in his infancy be molded from the very beginning unto God. And you don't wait until it's too late. You don't wait until the time has passed that they have already told you no and no correction. They have already told you, I don't want to, and slap at you, and no correction. But that they have recommended you to reverence your decision and to be obedient and not wait till their will is so strong that no longer they can hear the enticing spirit of God whispering through their hearts and their minds to be obedient not only to their earthly parents but to their heavenly parents. And let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters, if your child is disobedient to you, he will be disobedient to our heavenly parents. Because when he's disobedient and they're disobedient to us, they're already violating the law of God.
Now I'd like to read the 26th through the 29th. He that watches his father and casts away his mother is a son that causes shame and bringeth reproach. Cease, my son, to hear the instructions that causes to err from the word of knowledge. I want you to know that. Cease to listen to that which would cause you to err from the knowledge of God. An ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth equity. Well, I come up without my glasses. Iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of fools. And stripes for the back of fools. Let's think about that for a minute. Stripes for the back of fools. For the back of those who will continue to walk willfully their own way. For the back of those parents that think that they're being obedient to the law of God when they become to the point that they are so lenient that they allow their children to violate the law of God. Parents, you help not your children when you feel like you must be obedient and just let them go and not use the law of correction and chastisement. You do not. I'd like to read in the 11th chapter of Ecclesiastes in the 9th through the 10th verses. It says, "Rejoice, O man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thine heart, and put away evil from the flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." He's saying, young people, don't fool yourselves as you walk with the warning eyes. Don't fool yourselves as you're going to the world, because you're going to stand and be judged of those very things. And we can salve our conscience all we want, but I'll tell you one thing, it won't do us any good. Because nevertheless and notwithstanding, you will be judged where you erred. You will be judged where you were disobedient and rebellious, whether we like it or not. I'd like to turn to Mosiah, the 2nd chapter. In Mosiah, the 2nd chapter, I'd like to read from the 21st through the 27th verses. And you heard this used here not too long ago. It says, "And humble yourselves even in the depth of humility, calling upon the name of the Lord daily, and standing steadfastly in the face of that which is to come, which is spoken of by the mouth of an angel, which is Jesus Christ. And behold, I say unto you, that if you do this, and ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God, and always retain the remission of your sins, and ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true, and ye shall not have a mind to injure one another, but to live peaceably, and to render to every man according to that which is due. And ye will not suffer your children that they shall go hungry or naked, neither will ye suffer that they shall transgress the laws of God.
and fight and quarrel one with another and serve the devil. Who is the master of sin, or who is the evil spirit which hath been spoken of by our fathers, he being an enemy to all righteousness. But ye will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness, and ye will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. Brothers and sisters, let me read you a record in the Book of Mormon that just tears your heart. And I'm reading in the fourth book of Nephi, page 685. And I'm going to start in the 41st verse. Therefore, the true believers in Christ and the true worshipers of Christ, among whom were the three disciples of Jesus who shall tarry, were called Nephites, Jacobites, Josephites, and Zoramites. And it came to pass that they who rejected the gospel were called Lamanites, Lemuelites, Ishmaelites, and they did not dwell, and they did not dwindle in unbelief, but they did willfully rebel against the gospel of Christ. And they did teach their children that they should not believe, even as their fathers from the beginning did dwindle. And it was because of the wickedness and abominations of their fathers, even as it was in the beginning. And they were taught to hate the children of God. Even the Lamanites were taught to hate the children of Nephi from the beginning. I want you to know that as equally as you and I can teach a child a way in their life, we can teach him that which is causing to fall and to go astray from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we can teach him by being lax in the correction when they're a child. We can teach them in being lax and allowing them to rise up and become a rebellious, inconsiderate individual that separates themselves from the household of God and denies the power of God and comes, yes, just like it said right there, they willfully disobey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when they hold not reverence and respect and obedience unto their parents, we willfully disobey the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'd like to have you turn over to the 26th chapter of Alma and tell you about a group of young people that stood mighty in a war and wasn't afraid. The 2,000 in the beginning of the Lamanite brethren, and they stood mightily because they had been taught by their mothers. Their mothers had taught them from their youth, and when they reached their teenage, even when they went to war, they had such faith within them of the power of God that they feared not, and they went forth and conquered, and didn't even lose one against the odds of 10-1, because they were taught by their mothers. This is the responsibility of the parents. And there's another place that I didn't read because I'm trying to hurry in Proverbs that says, don't spare the crying of your child. Don't worry about that child crying when you smoke his britches. It's better for it to cry and save its soul from hell. Let's go over. Let's see. I'd like to read the 56th verse on page 514. And now they never had fought. These young men had never had fought. Yet they did not fear death. And they did not, and they did think more upon the liberty of their fathers than they did upon their lives. Yea, they had been taught by their mothers that if they did not doubt that God would deliver them. They had been taught They wasn't allowed to run rebellious and go their own way. The mothers held them under subjection and taught them. Let's read the 96th verse. Yea, and even according to their faith, it was done unto them. And I did remember the words which they said unto me that their mothers had taught them. Brothers and sisters, that's your responsibility and mine as parents to teach our children. It's your responsibility and mine to use a correction, if need be, with a rod, because it's better that we use the rod than to lose our soul. It's better that they learn in their youth to be obedient and to obey and to accept chastisement and know that when they are chastised, it is because you love them. Because if you love them, you want them to have eternal life, do you not? And if you love them, you will chastise them, even as God says he chastises those whom he loves, that they shall not be rebellious against the holy word of God. This is why the Church of Christ, in many instances, is weak and is not as strong as it should be. And I'd like to close by reading in Matthew's. And parents, would you listen closely? I want you to listen real close, because this certainly lays a responsibility upon our shoulders. But to start in the first verse, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying to his